We'll look at verses 1 through 5. Talking about storms in life and talking about things that come up, we'll see some things with Jonah and what Jonah went through. And it's called returning to God. There are six signs here that identify or indicators where Jonah went away, or we tend to stray away in our lives. And we want to look at them today and see what God's Word has to say to your heart and mind, and how we can return back to the place where God desires us to be, if not understanding that God has a way of getting us where He desires us to be. Amen? And we'll see that in the Scripture this morning as we open up God's Word. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we thank You that we can come in Your house, we can laugh, we can have fun. God, we can sing, we can praise You, we can worship You, the Lord, in spirit and in truth. And God, we thank You that we can come into a place like that, the Lord, that we're gathered in Your name. God, that we know that You are the chief cornerstone. You are the cornerstone of the church and in our life, the Lord. And when all else fails and feels like it's crumbling around us, God, it's in You that we can stand strong. God, it's in You that You can take care of us. God, I ask You today, defeat the devil, bind up Satan, his demons and workers in opposition. God, keep them at bay. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to work in our lives. God, I pray that You anoint the reading of Your Word. God, it is Your Word. Your Word is precious. And God, we pray that You anoint it today. And God, as we read it, that Your Word would go forth, that it would accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to You, the Lord. God, hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Fill us with the words that You desire us to say, to speak this morning. And God, I just pray, the Lord, as I pray a lot, the Lord, that we would be changed individuals. We won't be the same as what we walked in here as. But God, we'll be refreshed, excited, and renewed and revived. The Lord, to go out these doors and do Your ministry, do Your work, and do Your mission, God, that You have called us to do. And Lord, we just thank You for what You're going to accomplish. God, may we be challenged in Your word today, the Lord, and may when we leave here, God, may we be challenged to live a more godly life for You. God, we pray again Your blessings and anointing of the reading of Your word. And God, I pray that it'll go forward, that God, it accomplished what is pleasing and honoring to You, that God, You would open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears. God, bless us to hear Your word, receive Your word, apply Your word, and be doers of Your word. God, we're going to thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Look at me in Jonah chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now that's important right there for us to remember, because of how God's word comes to you and me and how His word comes to Jonah. God still speaks today. God speaks through His word. God speaks through the things of His creation. God speaks, and we need to understand. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, and that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before Me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares or the cargo that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. You know the story of Jonah. As you can continue to read in this chapter, the captain came and he called for all those that were in the ship to call upon their God, to pray unto their God. And he came and he found Jonah asleep, and he woke Jonah up, and he said, hey, you know, you need to pray unto your God, that we're in trouble, the sea's in a turmoil, and we're about to go down. Wake up and cry out unto your God. And as you know, as he said that, it goes on to say that they came together and they cast lots to see who the evil was upon the boat and where the evil had come from. Well, when they cast those lots, you remember that it fell upon Jonah. And they knew that he was running from the Lord. It says in the scripture that they asked him, you know, where are you from? Who are your people? What are you running from? Who is your God? And they questioned him. As they knew, after he responded, he said, I am a Hebrew. I believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God. And he goes on to say, and they knew at that point that Jonah was running from the Lord. That it was Jonah that caused all the sea and the waves and things to start happening. So what do? They take Jonah and they cast him overboard. And I believe before he even hit the sea. But it says when they cast him over, it said instantly the sea begin to calm. Instantly the storms calmed down the moment Jonah entered into the sea or was cast overboard. And then the ship began to level out and things of that nature. And as you know, as the story goes on to say, God had prepared a great fish, and that fish swallowed up Jonah. Listen to me. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, told him what to do. Jonah knew where he was supposed to go and what he was supposed to do. Jonah chose to run from the Lord. And so God was able to get his attention. You know, it's the same thing with you and me. We know the direction that we should head in. We know what God has called us to do. We know in our life what it is that he's required of us to do. And I pray that it doesn't take a big old fish to swallow us up to put us in the direction that God wants us to go. Amen? Because if it takes that, God prepared one for Jonah, he can prepare one for you and me as well. You know, and I did some research on that. And there has been a time in history as we know it, Google does some major things, wonderful things at your fingertips, where there was a man that was swallowed up by a whale. And when they found him, he was unconscious. And the whale, the acid of the whale had bleached out his skin and everything like that. But they brought the man back to life. So listen to me. The story in the Bible is true. And what it says, you can go on Google and find this man that got swallowed up by a whale and he lived. So it was a short hours, but God can do anything. I wouldn't want to be in God's motel hotel for 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, would you? But if it takes that, understand, God can get us there. So when we're looking at this and we try to return to God, we see an indicator. The first indicator we see is ignoring God's word. And this is where, you know, Jonah come in. And if you notice the phrase in verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to what? Jonah. Put that back up there. I like that. You see that man? There's Jonah. God told him to go where? Nineveh. Where's the arrow pointing? What happened to Jonah? You know, how many times do we do that in our life? You know, God tells us, I want you to go this way. I want to go this way. Well, that's what Jonah did, and he leaves us a prime example, right? Ignoring God's word. So he says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And it reminds us, it reminds me that God that I serve is an intimate God. The God that I serve still speaks to your heart and my heart today. God speaks to us through, as I said, the things of nature. God speaks through us through his word. When we open it up and we read it, it reminds me, as it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah in that first verse. It reminds me that God still speaks to us today. God still speaks to you and me. He still wants a relationship with us. He still wants our relationship with him. But when he speaks, are we listening? When he speaks to us, are we listening? Are we listening to what the Lord wants to say to us? Are we hearing what God has to say? And sometimes, my friend, when God speaks and commands us to do something, it might not be something we want to do. When you research and you go back and you look at Nineveh, and I'm going to show you some verses of Scripture and a little bit of Nahum. That's a part of the Bible we can never hardly hear of, right? Nahum, it's in there. But when we go there, and you'll see in Nahum chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4, and you read all of Nahum, you understand it's about Nineveh. And Nahum was a city that was rough, man. They were bad. It was kind of like the Sodom and Gomorrah of the day. They were rough people. They took no prisoners, man. They come and you read up on it, they'd pull out your tongue, cut it off, and skin you alive. Skin you alive, man, and cut your head off and leave your bones and your body and your head laying at the ruins in the foot of the city and the gate. And my friend said it was so bad that the blood, it was called the Bloody City. Nineveh was called the Bloody City. It was so bad that they couldn't even walk without tripping over bodies that had been killed and destroyed. So we see, as I said, God still speaks to us today, but the thing is when God speaks, do we listen? Are we hearing what God has to say? Imagine how Jonah felt when he heard the Spirit say, arise, go to Nineveh. Imagine what he felt like. Imagine what went through his mind when he heard the words of the Lord come and say, go, arise, go into Nineveh. Imagine what he felt. He didn't like it at all. Concerning the Bible, someone wisely has observed, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. Amen? Amen. Sin will keep you from wanting to come to church. Sin will keep you from the book. Sin will keep you from being anything near Christian folks that can obviously say something about the Word of God that's going to convict you. Or this book will keep you from sin. One or the two. And so here we see Jonah in this. When Christians drift from God, it's typically because God is telling us to do something we don't agree with. God has given you and me the greatest love letter for your life and my life in His Word. You know, you go back to that time when you were dating. That time when Jerry had his eyes on Miss Sandy. He was just saying, "Ooh, Lordy, the apple of my eye." And he'd get out that little pen and he'd write him a little note while they were in high school and slip it over to Miss Sandy. She'd be waiting to receive it and she's like, "Ooh." They read that thing and Jerry's over there saying, "Man, I can't wait to see your beautiful eyes." She's looking at Jerry, "Oh, I can't wait to rub my hand through your curly little hair. Boy, I can't wait till Friday night gets here. I'm going to take you for a steak. Get you some ice cream." You know, you look back about 50-some years celebrating anniversary over here. Going over there and looking at Miss Charlotte. Saying, "Woo, Lordy. 50 years later, I'm still with her and saying the same thing."
Amen.
Writing those love letters. You got Mr. Van and Miss Barbara. She comes cruising on down here in this wheelchair. Mr. Van right behind her with his arm on her. Love of his life. Going, you see him, you know, picturing him. "Where my honey at? My honey back here." I come back and see my honey. I said, "Oh, Lord, she makes my heart skip a beat." And she still makes it skip a beat. Listen to it. That's what it does when I get around my honey. Get around her, and every time I get close to her, "Mark, I'm going to shoot you," or 901. Turned off. How it was when you got that love letter, and you got that letter, and it's from your sweetie pie, and you opened it up, man, you look forward to receiving those letters. But guess what? God looks forward for you opening up the love letter. God looks forward for you opening up that love letter and seeing what's in there for you and me. Why? Because He wrote it to us, and we're special, and He loves us, and He wants to hear from us. And so you see that it's important when God speaks. You know, it's important that we listen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it reminds us that God still speaks to you and me today. God still speaks to us today. Are we listening? Are we hearing what He has to say? He wants the best for you and me. Not only that, but another indicator we see in the Scripture is harboring hidden sin from our past. We look at verse 2, and it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." You know, I'm reminded of a drunken husband. And he comes home, and he's been out all night long, cutting the fool, getting drunk, and ended up in a fight, and getting him some bruises and bumps and cuts all over his face. And he thought, "Well, I'll pull one over on my wife tonight. She won't ever know that I've been out and got in a fight and done scrapped and all that." So what does he do? He slips in the house quietly, and he goes upstairs and goes into the bathroom. He looks in the mirror and says, "Yeah, that needs to be covered up." He finds the band-aids and he begins to cover up the boo-boos and everything he's looking at in the mirror. Smiling, he goes to bed and says, "Yeah, I got this. I'll pull one over on her." He wakes up in the morning and there she is standing over him. "Been drunk again, huh? No, honey, what makes you think that?" "Well, for some strange reason, there's band-aids all over the bathroom mirror." "Be sure your sin will find you out." He done bandaged up all the boo-boos he could see in the mirror. Problem was, he put it on the mirror, not on him. Amen. But I don't think either way it was covered up, she would have known something was there, right? So we see that harboring that hidden sin. And we see here what here was Jonah. Here he was, and he knew what the Lord told him to do. But he did an about face and chose to run the opposite direction. Harboring the hidden sins from his past, he chose to flee. You know, have you ever tried to hide sin? You ever tried to cover it up? Y'all a bunch of lying Baptists. You ever try to hide a sin in your life? Praise the Lord, we in church. You got to tell the truth. This time. Are you trying to cover it up? Did it work? Maybe for a little bit, right? But it didn't work forever. Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. Especially when you become a child of a God and Christian and all that, then confession starts. Now, I've been around Jonathan and Katie a while. Confession starts. I won't tell everything. I spare them some of that. You know, and you were around there, and when something happens, you know, yeah, you get married. When you get married and you get that spouse and you go on there, mama and daddy think you are innocent every time y'all went on a date. Y'all get married, and then the truth starts coming out. Ooh. Oh, Lordy, if mama and daddy ever knew that, Adam wouldn't be preaching today. See, you know, you're going, hey, y'all laughing. Mm-hmm. Sandy and Miss Decky ever know and everything that went on with Sandy and Jerry's life, she wouldn't be here either. Well, maybe he wouldn't. She says, and I don't want to know. Oh, listen to me. You know, you've been there. You can relate. You know, here was Jonah. You know, maybe it was years ago that something happened. Maybe it was some hidden sin. Maybe that was swept under the rug and hid in a closet. Maybe it was something committed against a loved one or a friend. Maybe it was an act of pleasure seeking. Whatever it was, it had a spiritual impact on your relationship with the Lord. And it needs to be made right with Him and right with the Lord and let God take care of that. As I said earlier, when he's dealing with Nineveh, and Jonah had harbored all this hidden sin in his life, and he didn't want nothing to do with Nineveh. He said, go to Nineveh, and he hated Nineveh. He was prejudiced. When you read of Nineveh, it was dealing with the Assyrians, and the Assyrians were an inhumane people that scoured the earth. And when you look at Nahum 3, verses 1 through 4, as we said earlier, it just gives a little glimpse of what was happening in the city. It says, way to the bloody city. Go to Nineveh. By the way, do some research. It's a bloody city. Can you imagine? You know, going to Nineveh is nothing but roars, nothing but things going on. It's a bloody city. You don't want to be there. It's killing. Corpses are laid up all over the place. It said, and it was all full of lies and robbery, and that prey departed not. Sound like somewhere you want to go, right? He said in verse 2, he said, and the noise of a whip, they're beating everybody while you're around there, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and the prancing of horses, and the jumping of chariots. He goes on to say in verse 3, he said, and the horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. Now we're going down a bloody city. A city full of lies, and they got horses jumping all over the place, and men on the back waving their spears and their swords and sparkling in the light just for the rest of it to come and take your head off. It said, and there is a multitude that was slain, and a great number of carcasses, and there is no end in their corpse. They stumbled upon their corpses. Man, that's a place I want to go. Place you want to go to also, isn't it? He said in verse 4, he said, and because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of rich crafts, the sell of nations through her whoredoms and the families through their witchcraftiness. Boy, it's the place you want to be, right? God sent me, here am I go. And you relate to Jonah? God come here and told you to go to Nineveh, and then from Nineveh, preach to the city with all these things on there. You can see that the Assyrian people, they had a strict take no prisoner policy. They would pull, as I said, if you study up on them, they would pull out your tongue, cut it off, and skin you alive. And then take your head and cut it off and bury and have the pile of the skulls up there. Man, it's really a place that you'd want to go. You get the picture of it. But when we see, as that city was left, a conquered city, they piled up the skulls of the victims outside the ruins. And Jonah, the man whose name means what? Jonah's man whose name means what? Dove. Jonah's name means dove. And you think of dove, you think of peace, you think of love, have grown popular as a prophet who denounced the Assyrians. Jonah was growing as one of them. And now he feared he would lose his credibility with Israel if he went to preach and offer grace to the Assyrians. But listen to me. My friends, when God tells you something, it doesn't matter what the city's like. It doesn't matter how bloody it is. It doesn't matter what the people are like and the wickedness of it. If God tells you to go, you have no choice but to go. If God tells you to do something, you got to do something. Listen to me. If he's telling you to and you don't do it, he can prepare a fish to swallow up you as well. It might not be the great fish, and he can use whatever fish he chooses to use. But my friend, when he tells us to do something and we do it not, to him it is sin. And my friend, he will prepare whatever fish in your life and my life that needs to be prepared to get us to where he desires to be. To get us to where he desires us to be. You know, I thought of Numbers 32:23. And in that, it says, but if you will not do so, behold, and this is talking about Joshua and Caleb and talking about the 12 spies, and they were going over to conquer the promised land, and they went over there and 10 of the spies come back. And they told the leader that, man, they're like grasshoppers, or we're like grasshoppers, they like giants and all that. But only Joshua and Caleb was the one that rose to occasion that could spare the city, the promised land of Canaan. But it goes on down, and it says that, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and what? Be sure your sin will find you out. He says, you have sinned against the Lord. If you will not do so. It didn't say, if you cuss, if you smoke, if you drink, and you commit all those sins. It didn't say none of that. It says, if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. If God is telling you to do something, and you do it not, and you rebel against it, just like Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh. He said, no, I'm going to Tarshish. You can run, but you can't hide. God's going to get you. He's going to find you out, and he's going to get you back in the right path, in the right direction. So we see, if you have harbored sin in your life, give it to the Lord. Turn it over to him. Let God use you. Not only that, but number three indicator in our life is neglect our evangelistic responsibility. When you look back at verse 2, God told Jonah to preach against Nineveh. He said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and what? Cry against it. Preach against it. Cry against it. Come to them. Deliver the word. Go to them. Preach against that city. Cry against that city, he's telling them to go. And most people know that the Jews are God's chosen people. And Jonah knew this. He said, nah, you calling me to go preach against them. Well, yeah, that's right. Well, they're God's chosen people, okay, but they need to go. But have you ever thought about what they were chosen to do? The Jews are God's chosen people. Have you thought about what they were chosen to do? They were chosen to take the precious word of God and spread it throughout all the nations. They were chosen to deliver God's message and take it throughout all the nations. My friend, and be a blessing and plant the seed of blessing. When God called Abraham to become the father of his people, the Lord told the patriarch, out of your seed will the nations be what? Blessed. He told him, out of your seed, Abraham, will the nations be blessed. And he called them together and he told them to go and trusted evangelism to his people. And now he entrusts it to the church and to you and me to go with the Great Commission and spread the word of God and do what God has called us to do. When you look at these verses, as I said, God told Jonah to preach against Nineveh and to go. When we see in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, and the wickedness has come up before them. It said, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare thereof, and went down into it, and to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. How many times has God spoke to us and we chose to run the other way so that we didn't have to become and be faced in the presence of the Lord? What is God speaking to you to do? What is God speaking to you to do today? What is he speaking to you about? Instead of running the opposite direction, say, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I. I don't want to run from the presence of the Lord. I want to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. God, speak to me. God, let me feel your presence. When I think of God, his love, and the world that he sends us to them, the love of God is available to the wicked, to the vile, to the civil, and to the self-righteous. God's love is available to all. Not only that, but when you think of Nineveh, the Assyrians represent the unconverted that desperately need to know both God's love and their impending judgment. My friend, how many do we know that are living in the city of Nineveh that need to know of God's love and need to know that if they don't change their life and change the direction they're heading in, they need to know the pending judgment that is coming their way? Nineveh. My friend talks about that. Not only that, but when you think of Jonah, Jonah represents the prophet of one that's sent to share God's word. My friend, that's what God has chosen you and me to do, is be prophets of his word, to take and share it and show it and send it out. That's what God has chosen us to do. Will we respond to what he has told us to do? Will we respond? He was glad to speak for God to the good people. Jonah was glad to speak to them, but Jonah refused to speak to the people that could possibly slay him when he was there to deal with them. He refused to go to Nineveh, that wicked city, as you've seen in Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He chose to go there. But my friend, when God calls us to do something, we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We can't pick and choose who we want to minister to. He said, for whosoever would shall come. We can't pick and choose and stereotype who we go to witness to and who we go to present the gospel to and who we invite to church. We can't stereotype them. My friend, they're all in need of Jesus. They're all in need of God's love. He said he would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friend, and it's our job to take the gospel to them. Oh, listen to me. You might not want to go up to the biker dude tattooed all over the ponytail hanging down to his knees. But my friend, you ain't got a choice. If God says go talk to him, you better go talk to him. You don't have a choice to stereotype, you know, what's going on in our life just because we stereotype based on what they wear or what we see. No, God's love is for all. And my friend, we need to reach out to all, regardless of where they are, and share the love of God with them. We see this, not only that, but the next indicator is deciding to deliberately disobey God. Look at verse 3. It starts out with but. Don't you like that when you're talking to somebody and they say but? Or you're talking to somebody and they say however? That's some indicators right there. But, however, means, yeah, I just heard you, but I'm not agreeing with what I heard, so I'm going to go this direction. You know, but, or they start talking to you, and you start talking to them, and they'd ask your opinion on something, and you share it with them, and then they say, but, however, you know, and so here we were in these verses right here in verse 3. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It can say, however, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. Either way, we see here there's a qualifier. Then notice, as I said, that word but or however. Jonah knew exactly what God required of him. He knew exactly, but however, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We, you and I, know what God is speaking to us about. We know what God wants us to do in our life. We know the direction we should go in. We know what God wants us to do. But sometimes, but comes in the way. Sometimes, however, comes in the way. Sometimes those things come in the picture, and God wants it out of the picture for you to go in the presence of the Lord. Instead of us saying but or however and qualifying what we do and putting qualifier words in there and turning the other direction and going away, that's not what God intends for us to do. So we see that he used this word, however, and instead of listening and deciding willfully to, and he deciding willfully to disobey God, comes with consequences, as we see in the end of the story with Jonah. It comes with consequences in that arena. And we see that in his, when we tend to think that it is reasonable for God to make exceptions to the rules, or that we tend to think that we can make some comparison here, or there's an exception here, or there's a compromise of some degree here of his expectations, folks, listen to me. God don't compromise his word. God don't compromise his stand. God don't put a qualifier in there, but or however, God's word is true. It says what it says, and we're to follow it. There is no qualifiers in there. He didn't make an exception for Abraham, for Moses, for David. He didn't make exceptions to the rule for them. My friend, they had to abide by the same word that you and I have to abide by. Had to abide by the same word. There was no qualifiers. If we have qualifiers, we need to get the qualifiers out of our life and say, okay, Lord, what is it you'd have me to do? Lord, what is it you have me to do? There is no buts and there is no excuses. You know, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? Not only that, but we see that number five is running from our calling. Running from our calling. Jonah got up to flee in verse 3. Running from our calling. As he said in verse 3, he said, but Jonah rose up to what? Flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What is your Tarshish today? What's your Tarshish today? What has God told you to do? Where has God told you to go and you haven't? What has God told you to do and you've ignored it and you blatantly disobeyed it? What has God spoke to you to do about? What is your Tarshish? What is your Nineveh? What has God spoke you to do? It said Jonah rose up and fled unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Folks, when we flee from our Tarshish, we're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. What has God told us to do? What has God told you to do? What is God telling us to do in his words? When I looked up the definition to flee in the Hebrew words, it says the irresponsibility of running from God. To flee. The irresponsibility of running from God. That means, did you really think it through before you took off running? Irresponsibility of running from God when it comes to our calling. When it comes to our calling, the Christian can find him or herself in one of the three situations. Never started, started but quit, or going strong in the service of the Lord. What are we doing? To Tarshish. When I looked up Tarshish in the Greek and Hebrew, that definition says the insanity of running from God. The insanity of running from God. Does that make a better picture for you and me? The insanity. Tarshish means the insanity of running from God. What is our Tarshish? It's a place you have gone to that is the opposite of God's will for your life. What is your Tarshish? A place that you have gone to that is the opposite of God's will for your life. What is your Tarshish? He tried to run as far from God's call as possible. His rebellion led him to do that which he could never have considered previously. Not only that, but from God, when I looked up that in the Hebrew, it says the impossibility of running from God. Can you truly escape it? Can you truly run far enough away? Can you truly run hard enough away? Can you truly get away from God? Can you truly escape your Tarshish from God? Of course not. As I said, you can run, but you can't hide. What has God called you to do? Have you thought about that? Ask yourself, what is God calling me to do? What is God calling me to do? What has God given me a passion to do? What is my passion? What has God made me passionate about? What has God made me passionate to do? Where are you going to do it at? And when you're going to start? There's plenty to do for the Lord. Neglecting your calling is an indicator that we need to give it to the Lord. What has God called us to do? And the last thing we see is disregarding God's correction. You look at verse 5. It said, the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares or the cargo that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. In the midst of a God-sent storm, Jonah had fallen into a deep sleep. His sleep is a good metaphor for spiritual indifferences. What are we falling asleep at that God is trying to tell us to do? What are we falling asleep at? God loves us, folks. And in this correction of Jonah, as I said, he prepared a fish. And that fish swallowed up Jonah and got his attention, spit him out in Nineveh where God told him to go. You know, in Hebrews 12, and in Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 6 through following, says this. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It goes on to say in verses 7 and following, he says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son. For what son he hath whom the father chasteneth not? It goes on to say in verse 8, but if we be without chastisement, wherefore we're partakers, then we are bastards or illegitimate and not sons. He goes on to say, furthermore, we, and I love this, I love how God brings his scripture back for us to understand and paints a picture. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of what? Our flesh, which what? Corrected us. And we gave them what? Reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He goes on to say in verse 10, he says, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He goes on to say in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God loves us. Just as we had parents that correct us, God corrects us. When God speaks to our lives and God tells us to go to Tarshish and we turn around and we head to Nineveh, understand we're heading away from the presence of the Lord. God wants you to be in his presence today. God wants you to be in the presence of the Lord. Wherever God tells you to go, we need to go. Where is your Tarshish? What is your Tarshish? What has God told you to do? Where is God sending you? What is God requiring of us to do? And are we headed in the direction of Tarshish? Or are we heading in the direction of Nineveh? Listen, if you're headed in the direction of Nineveh, understand the end of chapter 1, Jonah's attention was gotten by some folks that threw him overboard and a whale swallowed him up. In 3 days and three nights, he had revival, not the way he chose to have it. They got his attention, and God directed that whale to the shore of Nineveh and spit him out and said, boy, go do the job I told you to do in the first place. Folks, when God tells us something, heed to the calling. Listen to what he says. It could spare us a lot of trouble. What is God telling you to do? You might be here today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. He might be knocking at your heart's door and saying, I want in. I want in. I want in. He might be knocking at your heart's door this morning and come up there and knocking on it, saying, I want in. I want in. Might be knocking on that heart's door and saying, hey, I want you to go to Tarshish. Hey, I got something I want you to do. I want you to share the love of Jesus with this person today. Will you share it with him? Knocking on the heart's door, saying, hey, I'm knocking. If you just open up your heart's door, I'll come in. I sup with you and abide with you and you with me. I'm knocking. Will you open up? I love you. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I want to be real in your life. I want to be intimate to you. I want a love letter that I gave you to be real in your life. Open up and let me in.